We're up here in the mountain states, where the rebels run and play. The Aggies got old Keaton back, and boys, he chose to stay. I'm on that Mountain West connection, and I'm going to soundbite my hot takes. My internet's up and wired, and my Skype is up and at 'em for that Mountain West Sprott's hot takes. Well, I'm gonna travel up to Reno, and I'm going to travel to Fresno. I'll take the train to Albuquerque and fly the plane to Hawaii. I've got that Mountain West connection. Gonna see Colorado State. Gonna fly with Falcons and surf with the Aztecs on that journey from San Jose to Wyoming.
Welcome back to this Mountain West Connection podcast. Jeremy here, hanging out with Chris.
What's up, guys?
Utah State time. We got the Aggies preview tonight.
Utah State time, and I hope Utah State fans are happy.
Yeah, they, well, better be. Chucky's back.
This is true. Chucky is back.
And to find our show, as I skipped over that part, mwcconnection.com. Check us out on Twitter, MWC Connection. Ton of stuff going on the website, especially like if you're a San Diego State fan, you're in luck. Very lucky, I should say. But we got fall camp underway. As you'll hear during the show, Colorado State has an official running back, DeHart, on the roster from Alabama.
5 stars.
Paul!
He can't. Paul!
Why is he leaving the SEC?
So not just an SEC, he's a former Bama. I mean, that's a very...
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, he's official. He's able to play right away. And he should be the number one running back since everybody else is gone from Colorado State, so we kind of touched on that.
That DeHart is officially playing now.
Yes.
Honestly, that terrifies me for Colorado State.
We'll see, but he blew out his knee. He's had 2 serious injuries since he's been at Alabama. Special teams guy, handful of carries is their third running back, I believe.
Yeah.
He was, I think, all U.S. Army player of the year at a high school. He's graduated. He can play right away. So that's a good get for them, and that'll make the CSU game, especially versus Utah State at Fort Collins, a little more difficult. So we touched on that. We do have a guest time with Isaac Draxler from ustateaggies.com, Scout Network, to discuss a little bit of recruiting, updates on some legal issues with JoJo Natson and Ronald the Butler, because Utah State had their media day. I guess it's called the media day. They start practice on Tuesday, August 5th. A lot of schools like Colorado State, I think Hawaii had this, Fresno, Boise, meet the media the day before fall camp actually opens, which is a pretty cool idea. So we have updates on those guys, and it's we've already done an interview, but let's just say it's looking okay for those two guys this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking okay. And also some other Utah State news we forgot to mention during the interview, but DirecTV fans, you get SEC Network.
All the Paul you can want.
Yeah, it goes to Paul Feinbaum show if you want.
Yeah, pretty much.
The only thing I'm hoping, my next hope for, is I hoped that they would have got the same deal as Dish Network, where you get Longhorn Network. More importantly, they'll watch ESPN access. Was not announced as of Monday, so I'm hoping that does change, because there's some Mountain West games I'd want to watch on ESPN3 and watch ESPN. Or, selfish reasons, you and I would just want to watch more football, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, so for...
On my cell phone, I'm not about...
As busy as I am now, college football will be my only sanity now.
Yes. That, so I can watch on my tablet. When I'm working somewhere else, I can watch football at 4 o'clock, watching some action that gets going on. But, yeah, that's big news. And the Utah State, like I said, Chucky... looks to be good to go. We believe we'll get an update on Mr. Keaton. And an interesting take on Daryl Garrett as well for what his season could entail or not entail this year. But let's get to right now. We're going to...
Hold on.
I'm jumping ahead. What am I missing here?
What are we missing? Why not we just plug the new website?
What new website?
Underdog Dynasty. our people, our mid-majors in...
Crime?
Us in crime, yeah.
Yeah, underdogdynasty.com. Chris, you're part of that doing some Service Academy work, I assume. Is that right?
Yep, Service Academy, social media. So basically I'm going to be doing pretty much the same goofing off that I do here.
Oh, excellent. So Head over there, not just because they're a news site, not just because they're on SB Nation, but they're covering Sun Belt, where the Mountain West plays, and Louisiana Lafayette for Boise State, Arkansas State, Utah State, Conference USA, which has Marshall, who could be contending for that Group of Five big money bowl game.
And, of course, you know, UTEP, who, you know, they will be
playing New Mexico. UTSA plays, I think, somebody in the league.
As well. Yeah.
I think New Mexico. You also got the American Conference. There is some representation already with Cincinnati and UConn on the network, but all the other teams on there, UCF, stuff like that. So check them out. Navy, of course, Army, who plays Air Force, that type of stuff. And so, yeah.
It should be fun. We'll probably be doing some collaborative stuff with them, yeah. You know, in the future.
And also, one more quick note. There is a going to be, we kind of did last year midway, a mid-major poll. There will be a mid-major top 15. I guess, is it technically the mid-major? I guess the second tier of college football teams.
That's so Notre Dame-like.
Sure, we're like Notre Dame. Yeah, that's a positive spin on it.
Using tiers? I mean, come on.
Whatever. But that we'll have that. That's probably a couple weeks. That's actually going to be on ESPNation.com, the big place, not just hiding in the random website. So
you're going to have a vote. You're going to have a full vote. I'm going to have a full vote.
Matthew Kay is going to have a vote.
One of our other guys is going to have a full vote.
Matthew Kennerly? Kennerly?
Is it going to be Matty Gay?
I already told him. Yeah, he's already on the list.
All right.
At least, Matt, if you're listening, you better accept that email from Brian. So
Seriously. Berate.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. So there's basically three votes per conference. So that's, yeah. So plenty of representation, plenty of teams. So we'll get to that. Give us your suggestions of who should be in the list, because I'm having a tough time filling mine out a little bit.
Yeah, as am I.
There's a lot of teams. So let's just get to it now. We're going to speak to Isaac Draxler of UStateAggies.com right now. All right, now we welcome in our guest for this evening, Isaac Draxler from UStateAggies.com, covering the Utah State Aggies, of course, on Scout.com. Fairly new get-up over there. Not many Utah State guys doing that, so good work on you there, and more Aggie coverage is always better, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's been fun. I was on Twitter, different things. But this site's really been fun. I've been able to follow recruiting, you know, more closely, and have the scout name behind me as well. So it's been a good deal.
Definitely. Plus, also, I'll give another name to help you out. Doug Kimmel, the beard himself. Besides the beard, that's what we should focus on. But he does good stuff for our region as well, and the mountain region.
And just a quick plug, if he wasn't part of Scout, I would not be part of Scout. Yeah. So, I mean, the fact that they stepped up and hired him, and he has been pumping out such awesome content, and really makes it worth it for me to put my time in and start the site and everything, because I benefit from what he writes, and I write my own stuff.
Yeah, Doug, he does all the stuff like Utah State. They're obviously getting better recruits, and he does everything he's been doing a bunch of lists, whatever, top recruits in the area. And Utah State, to get a bunch of guys, like they got Chad Artist a couple weeks ago. He should be a pretty good get at wide receiver.
Yeah, Chad Artist is a good get. He's a guy that has great speed and has good size. So he's a local kid. I think that's a great benefit to that. As far as, you know, he's a hard worker. He's local. He kind of knows the program inside and out. His dad played at Utah State, so it's just a great, great opportunity for him. And he's excited about it. I talked to both him and Dalton Baker, who are both in-state commits, and they're both really excited. And a third, actually, as well, Wade Meekum. All three are really excited about Utah State and about the opportunity. So it's awesome to get those in-state guys.
All right, since we got talking receivers, Chad Artis, Utah State's getting good players. Let's just get to the season itself. We'll get to a few in particulars because they had their media day, I guess, pre-media before the camp begins tomorrow on Tuesday.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, there's Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hi.
You made it. Nice entrance there, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, I was waiting patiently here for about 2 minutes.
Okay, I understand. Yes, we were talking about a few things. But let's get to the crux of the thing for, like, Utah State recruiting's on the uptick. Of course, Gary Anderson, Matt Wells, you got Chucky Keaton, Tyler Larson's with the Dolphins now. What is it going to mean for this year? Are they able to, would Chucky come back from injury? As you know, I'll do these long questions here, Isaac.
Uh-huh.
What's the overall view from everything from last year to this year? They're second in the Mountain Division. They're going to contend for the league. What are you, your big picture idea right now of the team?
I think the big picture of the team, and it's kind of exciting to think about. But the last couple of years, as a guide, or if we look back, it comes down to those big road games. It comes down to the Boise State game and the CSU game, and also obviously BYU and Tennessee to really get that national exposure. So those big games, especially the big games on the road, those are really what Aggie fans are circling. Not necessarily who the team is circling, but Utah State has shown that they're able to beat the Air Forces of the world and the Wyomings. So they've shown that they can beat the teams they're supposed to beat and really play, really compete against the big time teams, the money games, and the out of conference games. So it's coming through on the road for a couple wins. That's really going to put this season over the top if they can pull out a win against Tennessee and pull out a win at Boise State, at BYU, three tough road games.
Excellent. So my understanding was you were at media days today.
I sure was. Yes, sir.
Excellent. And so I guess our biggest question was there anything surprising or was there any big news to come out of media days that they were willing to release?
No, the only real news that we got for the first time is they did have a tight end that went down with an injury, kind of a freak broken leg. But he was going to be second or third on the depth chart, so it wasn't a big thing, big news per se. So that was new. Basically, Matt Wells confirmed what I had kind of heard as rumors. And then it did come out today that JoJo Natson, he pled guilty to his misdemeanor theft charge. So he does have to serve 2 days in jail and pay a fine, pretty much obviously pay the money back and a few things. So that came out today, but they didn't really talk about it at media day.
Well, there'll be any, with that, or is Matt Wells just going to wait to see what happens? Like, we already kind of, he's pled guilty. Is there any more?
Right.
Like, he goes to 2 days in jail. Is that the extent of the punishment from the legal system, or is there a trial or something?
No, that's the extent of the what he's going to have to do. And so when we sat down with Matt Wells, I don't know if it was official at that point. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But Matt Wells, two things, when something like this happens, he wants to wait for the courts to figure it out, and he's not going to comment until it's official. And then he's not just going to, kick these two guys off the team or something like that just because these stupid decisions, in Matt Wells's words, happened. He's not going to just kind of knee-jerk reaction. He's not necessarily just going to suspend him, So it's, I really don't know. I mean, last year there was a smaller incident, but nobody really knew what happened. The receiver just sat for the first half. So it's entirely possible that they're out for the first half against Tennessee. So
him and Ronald Butler as well, perhaps?
Yeah, I think anything's possible. I know for a fact from my sources inside the program, they don't want to kick these guys off the team. That's not the best thing for the player. They don't want to overreact and do something that's not going to be good for the kid. And it's not something, 2 days in jail, a fine. It's not something that they have to, let them take care of, if that makes sense. Whereas obviously the Maurice Alexander incident was something that was pretty much ongoing, and was pretty warranted to kick him off the team for a year. So,
okay, so if the expectation could be for half of a game, the Aggies already lost Travis Van Loon from last year, wide receiver. These two guys were supposed to be the number one and number two. They are, if they're not there for the first game versus Tennessee, who are they going to count on? I know there's one guy spaced on my name, a freshman from
Brandon
Fork, who came in, who might be pretty, who could do something perhaps, and some other guys who got little time. Who's going to step up if they're out for a half?
Well, Brandon Swindle was their go-to receiver in the red zone, And so he really is a legit number one receiver. He's big. He's 6'4". He was injured for about half the season, but like I said, still led the Aggies in touchdowns from the receiving side. And so he's a a really good number one receiver. They also have a Utah kid, Hayden Wickers. They have Sean Johnson, who got a lot of playing time last year. They're really excited about Braylon Roberts from Texas, that's been in the program for a couple years, redshirted, and then last year got a little bit of time. And then Damone Patterson is actually a walk-on that probably was the top receiver, other than Swindle, in spring. He played really well. So he's only a freshman, but he's really impressed. Guy from Florida. So they are deep, I guess. And we even asked him about that, Matt Wells, and he said that is a position where, they feel like they're deep. They have some depth there.
Is it just experience maybe lacking a bit on some of the guys?
Yeah, a little bit of experience lacking. Obviously last year was kind of a crazy year with all the injuries. So a lot of these guys did get some time. If you remember, obviously almost every receiver went down at times. They finished the season without Travis Reynolds. Travis Van Leeuwen played basically the whole season, but it was kind of hit and miss from there. There was quite a few injuries.
So we've been hearing over the summer. Mm-hmm. We've been hearing over the summer that Chucky's ready to go. Chucky's ready to go. Mm-hmm. He's going to be the starting quarterback and all that stuff. How did his rehab actually go? I mean, is he 100% to go? I mean, we know he's ready to go, but is he ready to be that Heisman candidate that last year we were so hoping he'd be, and what they're trying to tout him as this year?
I think if I had to predict, I think it's not necessarily, I don't know if it has anything to do with his, physical knee. I think I expect him to be a little bit more smart when he runs. He's going to stay in the pocket a little bit more, and throw the ball, which he already did. I mean, he was, if there's one thing about Chucky is that he does make good decisions. I mean, look at his interception to touchdown ratio. Look at his, the amount of interceptions and completion percentage. He makes good decisions. Both times that he got injured, he was kind of scrambling. And today I asked him a question about that, and he said, yeah, I made a mistake against BYU. He kind of made a weird play and kind of left his feet, and it was kind of a freak accident. But he's going to be a little bit smarter, I think, this year. So
then, that being said, are there going to be any restrictions on Chucky? I mean, you mentioned that he's going to be working out of the pocket more, but is that a restriction more as rather like an actual playing style that would help him for the NFL, or is there other things?
I think the only restriction is just like normal. I mean, your starting quarterback isn't going to take every rep, just to save his arm. Just like a pitcher, you don't want your starting quarterback throwing the ball so many times that he, gets tired out. So things like that Matt Wells talked about today. And maybe, like I say, it's nothing out of the ordinary, that obviously he's not going to get hit. So the first time he gets hit against Tennessee, or if he's under a lot of pressure, say the offensive line breaks down or something like that, doesn't gel like we they hope, then we'll see. It'll be interesting to see, because against USC he was kind of running around for his life, and he's had a couple games like that that have been pretty tough. So.
All right,
it'll be interesting.
And we know Daryl Garrettson played very well last year. I'm sure his question wasn't asked. I'm wondering if it could be the case, assuming Chucky's good to go. They're not going to have any. Well, first of all, you can answer a quick question. No, is there going to be any special packages for Daryl Garrettson?
No. So Chucky is the starter.
Okay.
So when we asked him about Daryl, or anything, any special packages, he said no. We asked, you know, when that question was asked about Daryl redshirting, he said that he's always gonna say Chucky went down. He's gonna play the best quarterback.
That's what I was getting at.
That's the way Matt Wells put it. But at the same time, he made it sound like he's not just gonna put Garrettson in there for a minute, you know, to take a knee, you know, at the end of a game, or to play blowout minutes or something like that.
That's what I was getting at.
He could redshirt.
Yeah, he's supposed to redshirt last year. I was gonna get at. I figured you knew my question before I said it. If he's healthy, he's still the backup regardless. Chucky never comes out. Put in the third string guy to knee. He'll redshirt because I think that odds of any Utah State guy going early. You might have a Kyler Frackle this year leave early for NFL, but odds of that happening pretty slim for him. So that's why I was okay. You're smart. You read my mind. Good work. All right, let's just get to the schedule real quick. We don't want to be too late here. First, one real quick thing before we get to the actual team. Were you surprised where they finished in the Mountain West voting, second in the Mountain Division?
No, I wasn't surprised. I think everybody assumes that the Boise State's gonna reload. They might be a little bit better than last year. I think the media, you know, voted the way that everybody kind of as far as the ranking of the program. So until Utah State beats Boise State, they're gonna have a tough time getting voted or really having people think they're a better program than Boise State. So I had no problem with it. It's going to come down to that last game. There's a small chance. I mean, because they play San Diego State and Fresno State in Nevada, right? They could lose one of those games. So there's a small chance of something like that happening again this year, but it's really going to come down to that last game for Utah State to kind of leapfrog that Boise State program.
All right, so let's take a look at the schedule. Going to Rocky Top, Tennessee, and where you're going to listen to the fight song about a million times over. So how do you predict this one's going to play out?
I would predict, I mean, it's the same kind of thing that USC, you know, they played at USC, they played at Wisconsin.
Auburn.
I don't think, you know, the Tennessee team or the stadium or the environment's gonna really bother Utah State. I think you know, after you know these seniors and after a couple you know experiences like that, I personally am predicting a really close game, and I personally think that they're gonna just pull it out, you know, with their experience over the really young Tennessee team. So
that's what we like to hear. Yes, victory for Aggies at Tennessee, because they got to get it done one of these times. I felt there was poor coaching at the end of the Wisconsin game. Auburn, they just choked it. BYU twice in the past 2 years. Like, you got to get something, and this is probably the worst team they played out of all of those.
I mean, I was at the USC game last year, and despite what the final score says, and the final score is actually relatively close, Utah State had so many opportunities to break that game open and actually beat the Trojans.
Don't you mean that crappy, terrible penalty for Tyler Larson downfield?
That too. Don't get me started on that.
He could have done airplane circles with his arms and not touched anybody. They call him a legal man downfield. That's pretty terrible.
and that's the thing. If they can, I don't remember. I think it was Zach Vigil that I asked about that. I said, well, what if something goes wrong? What if you get a bad call? What if they return a punt for a touchdown or something happens? What happens? You know, how are you guys going to react? Because against Wisconsin, it was a horrible call. Against USC, it was bad calls and a couple bad punts and just weird things that really did them in. So
I felt more. I get to Wisconsin some close, but I felt more that let's throw it instead of going for 5 yards, run the ball, and kick a good field goal. But that was 2 years ago, so.
Well, yeah, exactly, and that was the old offensive coordinator that's now at Colorado State. So
yeah, that's good for the Rams.
That's good.
All right, so we're only going to do a handful of games here. Let's see what else we got. So you got, okay, who's better, really, Tennessee or Wake Forest? Does it really matter? Oh, they're both bottom of the
Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee still, I mean, at the end of the day, Tennessee's getting 4- and 5-star recruits. Wake Forest is
not
lucky to get a 3-star, you know. So.
Wake Forest is still Wake Forest.
There's not Tim Duncan walking through the place
exactly.
in position.
Yeah.
Okay, so then this is kind of a tricky game. Arkansas State. Because it's on the road. They've won a couple of conference titles. But they're in the Sun Belt.
Yeah.
You probably, I don't know, expect to know anything about Arkansas State, but that just seems like a game where Utah State should win, but Arkansas State's good enough to maybe do something.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to be an easy game. Luckily, they don't have Adam Kennedy, who graduated from Utah State and transferred last year.
Yeah.
So they don't. They have kind of a running quarterback and a pretty good running back, which is the strength of Utah State's defense. So that makes me feel pretty good about it. That if they're going to try to run the ball up the middle and run an option and that kind of thing, I feel pretty good about Utah State's defense.
Well, let's not forget that Arkansas State is going through their third coach in 3 years, I think it is.
I thought it was fourth.
It's some ridiculous number that...
crazy.
But you know what? If they're consistently winning titles, but they were picked preseason, they were picked third to finish in the Sun Belt third this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to catch up to them. Those five head coaches are, you can't just keep getting new coaches.
But the next, but not the next week, but the next game, October 3rd, at Provo. How are you guys going to get past BYU this year?
That is the million-dollar question. The defense, I think, is going to have to come out. Like BYU's come out against Chucky Keaton. I even remember a quote from one of the BYU players saying, we want to hit Chucky Keaton so hard, we want to knock him out of the game type of thing.
Well,
and they did, So so that's what Utah State's got to do against BYU. They've got to, they've got to shut down that running game, which they did a good job last year, actually. They just had a cornerback that completely, missed assignments and
couldn't guard the 6'7".
Fell down and
couldn't guard the 6'7".
Couldn't
Matthews.
Guard the 6'6" kid.
Yeah, Mitch Matthews.
Exactly.
In the corner.
So if it wasn't for the obviously those couple long passes, did the Aggies in. So
and well, don't forget the unfortunate pick six
and the injury.
Hey, let me go ahead and ask this as a follow up question. So. Mm-hmm. If Utah State beats BYU and somehow meets Utah in a bowl game and they beat Utah, does that mean that the Beehive boot goes to them?
Or is absolutely.
The not being handed out this year.
Well, I think if Utah State beats BYU, they get the Beehive boot. But
in-state game this year.
It's pretty much one in-state game this year. That's kind of the winner.
Well, the only way is somehow. If Utah State goes to Vegas Bowl and somehow the Utes get to like 8 wins and go to Las Vegas, that would be the only way. And I don't think we see Utah getting 6 if they're lucky.
Yeah, is the Las Vegas Bowl what, 4th in the?
I think it's
what
5th.
Do they get?
I think
it
it's 5th. 5th. It's low
5th
down
in
there.
The Pac-12.
It's dropped.
Yeah.
And if there's a playoff
team.
5th
in the Pac-12 is a good team.
That's debatable.
Pretty good.
Depends on the year. Okay, yeah. So I think let's just say. So I'm pretty optimistic. I could see. I hate saying teams can go 12-0, but I think Utah State depends on the wide receiver situation. Game one, if Keaton's really back, if they can replace like Tyler Larson offensive line, I don't see anything too difficult on the schedule. Relative, like overbearing, where they're going to be like last year USC playing something where it seems overly matched. They're playing the Oregon or something or Wisconsin, somebody that high. Right. Through league play, they have a pretty favorable schedule. Is it just the Boise game on the road that's a real concern? They missed Fresno.
Yeah, they have 13 wins. So
or 13 that's right. Yeah, 13.
So they have 13 games with the Hawaii game. So it's entirely possible to go 12-1 or 11-2. A lot of people are predicting 10 wins. A lot of people are predicting, like you say, all the games are winnable. There's no top 25 teams on the schedule.
Yeah, at the moment.
There's no unwinnable games.
So. They missed the top three team from the West, Nevada, San Diego State.
Exactly.
And so, do you see them tripping up anymore? Toughest game in league is CSU, right?
Yeah, other than Boise State, it's CSU.
Yeah, besides them, of course.
Obviously, Boise State and BYU. But like I say, I mean, it's once you get in the conference, it's really it comes down to that Boise State game. I think in the other division, it comes down to Fresno and San Diego State too. So it'll there's kind of four clear cut top teams in the Mountain West right now.
No Nevada.
Well.
I kind of like
quarterback.
Chris is laughing because I'm favorable to Nevada. They get everybody at home.
Well, you
Fajardo's
and Rocky
back.
Long. You and Rocky Long.
Of course, yes. But okay, I think they're a dark horse. Like CSU, they'll probably be third, but could put a scare.
Yeah, and I think CSU and Nevada are those teams that anything could happen. I mean, they can beat the top two teams in each division. They can. You know, pull out a win against anybody. I don't think Boise State or Fresno or Utah State are so much ahead of everybody else that they couldn't get a win.
Yeah, and I mean, just a quick note, we announced it today on the website, but D. Hart, the 5-star running back out of Alabama, successfully did transfer to Colorado State today, and he is officially listed on the roster. So that's another thing to look out for Colorado State. But that being
Does he have to sit out a year though, right?
No, he does not. He already graduated.
He did?
He graduated pretty quickly, yeah.
Oh. Okay.
So yeah, because with the Rams losing their top three guys, he'll probably be the number one guy right away.
Oh yeah.
Despite that knee injury after high school and being special teams guy. So that's a big boost for them.
So now I guess the next question is, I mean, while this is a team that you could easily see go, 11-1, 12-0, or whatever it is. What is the biggest concern for this team? I mean, it doesn't look like they have any glaring weaknesses.
Yeah, the biggest concern I would say would be the defensive backs, the cornerbacks. In spring, the top two guys looked good. They actually have a transfer from Tennessee, which is pretty funny. And so Daniel Gray will get the start most likely at cornerback. They've got four JC transfers that are cornerbacks. So those guys are going to push for some of those positions. And two safeties that played a lot last year. So the safety position is pretty set. Linebackers are really, really solid and returning. And then a lot of guys on the defensive line. Are returning, so the defense it really comes down to the cornerbacks how well they can play.
Do you think their front seven is the best in the league with who they have?
I haven't looked that close at Boise State who they lost, and I haven't really studied up on them yet, but I would say so.
At least linebackers, I think that's easy enough to say, right?
Yeah, that's really easy to say. I mean, they technically have four starting linebackers and three are returning. So they're going to have a new – one of the guys is going to be new, but they've got, some defensive linemen coming back. So I think they absolutely have the potential to be the top front seven, without a doubt.
Okay, before we wrap up real quick, what do you think, like – What's your expectation? Like, what's your record? What do you kind of think the ballpark they're going to be for this year? And you can say, I'd be fine if you said 13-0. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I think my prediction is they're gonna if I put all those top games together as the questionable ones, the road games, and I put all the other ones as wins. I'm predicting a loss. I'm predicting one loss, and if that's it at BYU, so be it. We beat if they beat Utah State, wins all the other games, and it's a great season. So so see what happens. But I'm predicting one loss.
You think they'll win the league?
To 12
as well?
Wins.
Will they win the?
I think they'll go to the championship. I'm predicting them in the championship against San Diego State. In Logan, in December,
Yeah.
Pulling out the win.
All right. One last thing here. That would be awesome. I would make the quick drive up there to, well, 90 minutes drive, of course, to head up there for that game. Here's one last thing. I think this would be the best. I've told Chris this a bunch of times, and we joked about it with the other guys I work with. But with BYU and Utah State, we know what BYU thinks of the Aggies, which is not much. How awesome would it be? I think this would be the best thing ever. Utah State, they win the Mountain West. They go to the Orange Bowl, whatever. But they lose to BYU. And 12-1, or maybe 13-1. Right. The top. That's still, we saw at Central Florida, they could be the best team out of the group since that and Central Florida don't play each other.
Well, what would really be great is if BYU beat those teams for us, Utah State.
That too, okay.
That would be hilarious.
Sure, they play Central Florida, so that'll help out. But what my point is, Utah State loses to BYU.
Right.
BYU loses a game, so they're knocked out completely, say Texas.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they go to the Miami Beach Bowl after beating Utah State, but the Aggies go to like a playoff bowl type bowl game.
Fiesta Bowl or something.
Whatever. Would that make BYU fans explode? We beat BYU, beat Utah State, but they're getting $25 million to go to whatever bowl game. We're stuck playing a 7-5 Cincinnati team.
That would be ridiculous.
That would be so hilarious. That's what they're hoping for. If they would have made a field goal versus Wisconsin, that would have already happened, but... I just thought that would be great. Chris, do you have any parting shots about the Aggies? Anything you want to know about Utah State?
No.
No? You're good?
I'm behaving tonight.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you. All right, so that's what we got today. So we got to predict the – wait, you said – you already said they're going to win the league. Sorry, I was jumping ahead. So you're going to say they're going to win the league. We're pretty close there. Me and Chris think that could be the case, but we'll – we're going to kind of hold off on our prediction for a little bit longer here, but I'm probably in the same area you are, at least close to it. But, hey, Isaac, thanks for joining us tonight. We will have this up tomorrow for you. Do great stuff for Utah State. Thanks to Isaac Draxler there from ustateaggies.com covering Utah State recruiting, football. I guess that's it. Maybe basketball. I don't know. I didn't ask him, but that's what they do at scout.com.
Turned with football right now.
Yeah, we're sorry. I should not say any round ball anything. It's all football all the time. So check him out for, like, some recruiting. He has some good help from the national guys there. A bunch of writers with him. So what is your thoughts about – are you surprised about the maybe non or minimal punishment for those two, Natson and Butler?
I mean, the kind of minimal punishment is one thing, but
– if Natson – his actual legal punishment was 2 nights in jail, which –
if that's it, then he should be good to go no matter what.
And then we don't know about Butler because that's a bit more serious, I guess. But it's interesting, before he hopped on, I guess Natson, he can pick it. He's like, it's one of those things like, well, I'll go to jail when I have free time, essentially, for those 2 days.
Is that an actual Utah law?
Well, I've heard that. I don't know. I've never got to that degree of shenanigans with the law, so I don't know if that could be the case or not.
I speak now.
I've heard of a place like, well, you can go to jail if you have to work or something, you can work around your schedule. Like, pro athletes sometimes have it. Well, they'll go to the jail in the off season for some reason because it's a crime, but not that severe, I guess. I don't know. But then 4 hours of community service, I'm like, okay, guess that equals up. But Butler with his DUI, we're not really sure what the case on that is yet because head coach Matt Wells is not going to really discuss that until something happens with the law. So we'll probably know on Tuesday at practice who's out there, who's not out there. And Natson can practice until he actually goes to spends the weekend at the hotel there at Logan, the prison hotel, I should say. So with the predictions, do you think Isaac was not saying he's wrong, but are you aligned with what he's going to say? Conference champion, 13-1, perhaps?
I was going to say just because I'm a homer, but I mean, yeah, I think he's got very valid points, and I feel that Utah State, they can get past Tennessee. They can probably go undefeated. Absolutely. I don't think they will. And my personal opinion, I think Utah State is going to go 10-2.
I think.
Sorry, 11-2. Pardon me.
Yeah, I forget that too. They play 13 games. I just think their schedule, it's set up nicely to have a great year. At Tennessee's tough just because they're going to have a lot of, with Butch Jones there, Yet they do have a new quarterback. They don't have Kyler Bray anymore. They should be able to. They're 6-point underdog, but that seems more of the you're playing on the road in SEC town. That game, it could go either way. BYU could go. I think there's three games that are 50-50. Like Tennessee, BYU, Boise State, all road games.
Oh, yeah.
And Colorado State, I'd give a. Depending on what DeHart does, and depending on Garrett Grace and everything, because this is the third year of Backer Jim McElwain, he's doing some good things there, so they could make some noise. But going to Colorado State, they played them last year and was. They handled them pretty easily. They didn't have too much of an issue with the Rams.
Did I say 11-2 officially, or can I change that?
Well, this is not our official. This is just our preview.
Right. This is just our official, not our official.
Yeah. Sorry, they didn't handle. They won 13-0 in that windy game last year, but still, they won, held the offense to nothing, which was pretty good for what the Rams had last year.
You know what? I'll go with 12-1.
What's your loss to your Broncos?
Yes. Last game of the semester. Last game of the season?
That too. Well, no, hope it's not semester because you got to play December 6th, maybe.
Oh.
I think I would like for them to go undefeated. I just don't think they've never done it before. It's so difficult. Even if you play in these bad conferences, I shouldn't say bad, but lesser conferences to a degree, it's still hard to go undefeated. If it's easy, there'd be more teams in the Conference USA or Sun Belt going 12-0 every year. It's harder. The only thing with them, their schedule sets up nice. They have probably a top five quarterback on the college level in Keaton. If they can, what they really need, I must have misspoke. I guess Isaac's more confident in their wide receiver group than mine. I just feel it's not as experienced as last year. And if they can get past Tennessee with those guys maybe sitting out a half, Idaho State perfectly fine. Wake Forest, there'll be a little trouble there just because they have a recruiting base. They'll have some better athletes for out of high school than recruits. They should still be fine. Arkansas State, not a big deal. They get the bye week before BYU, which is huge. I think the BYU game could be key for them to have, depending on how their season's going to go, especially if they're 4-0. If they can get past BYU at 5-0, they might go rolling because that next stretch of Air Force at CSU, UNLV at home, at Hawaii, at Wyoming, host New Mexico, host San Jose State, it's not terribly difficult. Hawaii's tough on the road. UNLV might be something, but none of those games should scare Utah State all that much.
No, and that's what I said. Like, if they go 12-1 with their, I'm going to say 12-1, and just because of the home of pick, I'll go ahead and pick the loss versus Wisconsin.
Is there any concern Keaton's not going to be back 100%?
Well, you know, only if Tennessee decides to pull a cheap move, like BYU has
it. Take out the knees?
Yeah.
I don't know. Everything seems like he'll be okay, but it's just hard to know. I know surgery-wise and medicine's improved even from 5 years ago from an ACL tear. I'm assuming he's back. Because the thing about Keaton, people are like, oh, he's this dual-threat running back. He only runs when he has to. It's not like just look who he plays. Like, they'll play BYU. Taysom Hill will run. He had over, 1,200 yards last year?
Yeah.
He's not that type of quarterback where he's going to run to get yards. He'll run when it's out of necessity. Like, versus that Utah game where he lost his shoe, still ran for 14 yards and got the first down. He's more the guy that extends the pockets. And I think with his injury, yes, side-to-side motion's difficult with ACL tear, but he's been in the Manning Academy this summer. He was throwing on the sidelines in spring. If his main thing is just to have a good offensive line in front of him, which is going to be huge, losing Tyler Larson to the NFL is a big loss. If he's just going to run when needed, he'll be fine. But I don't think Matt Wells is going to have him just do the read option every third play or something.
No, I don't think so.
Even if they do that, because he even said there's no restrictions on him running the ball, goal line touchdown, a goal line first down, whatever, reading his quotes from today. That's what he did last year, but he's not running, like, I should pull up his stuff here, but he's not running more than, maybe 5 carries a game? And probably 3 of those are designed runs, I believe?
Yeah, something like that.
I'm actually going to get this right here because I don't want to sound like I'm an idiot here. Because that's the worst. Not that it would really matter for what we do because...
Well, while you're looking that up, go ahead, give me your prediction.
I've learned. I'm not going to say 12-0. Undefeated. I'm not saying that. but they're going to have a loss somewhere. If they're going to get lost, it's either three places, at Tennessee, at BYU, at Boise State. I really think, for some reason, even though BYU's home field advantage is very good, I just think they'll be able to beat BYU. I don't know what it is. Part of it is, I do know, BYU's front seven is a lot of shakeup, I should say. A lot of shakeup there with new guys changing positions, losing all their linebacking core. Their defensive, their nose tackle might be 275 if you're on a good day when he's wearing a wet T-shirt. And you need a nose tackle to be close to 300 pounds. But I just think I think it's Boise State. For some reason, I think it is. And they're not, that means they can be 12-1 and not go to the title game, which would be unfortunate.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be honest, I'm going to go one loss and, well, probably two, but I'm optimistic that they'll have only one loss and probably be Boise State, because that game could be, if Boise State, not to kind of go off tangent, but if Boise State can be as good as we think, or Matt Miller, Sean Williams-Rowe, Jay Ajayi, they find a replacement for DeMarcus Lawrence, and Boise gets past Ole Miss, which is a tough game, and BYU, which is also difficult, but they get BYU at home. Do you think there could be a possibility, undefeated versus undefeated, last weekend of the season?
How epic would that be? If that's the possibility, somebody better be like ready to pick up that game, not only just nationally, but like primetime game day.
It is. It should be game. It's actually an ESPN network, so it could be the primetime ABC game.
I mean, that's a game day worthy game right there.
If that's the case, I need to see what I'm doing that Saturday and make the trip up to Boise.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you.
Maybe we can carpool and meet me halfway.
Right? Okay. But we're taking your car from Salt Lake up.
Sure, yeah, that works. I'm just taking a quick look here at one schedule. Hey, the team I actually have to have an actual job for is on the road. That's a very likely possibility. Bookmark it. Let's go. I may go there regardless to that game. If it's 12-0 or 12-0 or not. And I bet we could be Boise State folks would be nice to us, let us into the warm press box maybe. But we'll get to that later if that happens. That's way down the road. Do you have any other final thoughts on Utah State before we wrap this bad boy up? Any concerns? We didn't really discuss running back.
Yeah, but it's Joe Hill. I meant everybody else.
Oh, I forgot. I was looking up something. I forgot what I was looking up. Hold on a second, folks. Here's what I'm getting at here. Chucky ran the ball a bit more than I thought. He ran a lot versus Utah. He ran 55 times in six games last year. Really 5.5. So let me go to 2012 real quick. No, sorry. He ran a bit more than I thought. He's still more of a...
So that's still less than 10 carries a game.
Sure. He's not going to be the... They're going to have design rooms for him. I thought it was a bit less. The year before, he had about 10 a game. He had 129 carries in 13 games. So about 10 a game. And if you think about, probably four of those are pressure runs. And a couple more are just not necessarily design runs, but read options. They'll do the read option.
Yeah.
So about 10. So it's not too many. But I wonder if that'll cut back a little bit. Because he had 619 yards in 2012. And in 2011, he was a little bit less carries, but he missed a couple games as a freshman. But that's a first. I don't know. He'll probably get about 10 a game because that makes sense with the offensive line. So, but he'll still mostly be in extend the pocket. Anything about 10 a game? What's that? 2.5 a quarter? Even a statue quarterback like Derek Carr would run some games 8 times. So we're predicting. Where would you say they're going to bowl in? Las Vegas Bowl?
Yeah, I'll say Las Vegas Bowl.
Even if they don't go to the title game. Because then you're saying your Broncos are going to the big game.
Yes.
Okay. We have that recorded here forever, so yes, thank you. Chris is predicting a big money bowl game for Boise State.
I've been saying that for the last few months. Come on.
I know. We'll get to it. We'll have our – okay, here's what – that's – this is basically – it's a Utah State show. We're done with the Aggies now. Really quick. Like 2 more minutes here, I promise. We're going to have – we have the Wyoming show within a week. Or no, next week. Sometime the week after that, so about a week and a half before the season begins, we're going to do a live. We use Blog Talk Radio. We're actually going to use the live show feature. We've done this once before. We're going to promote it big time. We're going to have as many guys we have on our show, or not show, our staff, call in. We'll make a couple questions, which you, there's a fan post on our site about your Mountain West predictions. Go fill that out, obviously. That shouldn't be asked. That should be a treat to do to fill that out. Because voice your opinion for comments and the prediction. And you can be a homer like our UNLV guy did for the first article. UNLV Dark Horse, UNLV 10-3, all sorts of stuff like that. But listen to that show. We're going to have the chat room open either on this website or on the Blog Talk Radio. We'll do a mega preview show where we just kind of run through a couple questions for each person. And that then, and only then, that will be our official give me the sledgehammer and a little stencil to put in stone. In about 2 weeks. Is that fair to say? Is that our official picks?
I think so.
Okay, so leading up to now, it's just been in crayon. Because crayon, you can kind of smudge away, but not really. So, yeah. That's a good. Is that a good analogy of crayon marking instead of pencil?
Yeah, crayon. Oh, whiteboard.
Well, whiteboard you can erase. Crayon you kind of can erase.
Okay, fine.
Because you're kind of official. No. All right, so look, everyone, check out MWCConnection.com. Fall camp stuff. Look for some San Diego State stuff, of course. We got a bunch of new writers. Colorado State, thank you. Air Force. Falcons. Get control of your school there, guys. That's all I'm going to say about that. We don't need any negative shenanigans going on there in Air Force.
See, our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yes. Those
cruel and tragic shenanigans.
You should not be at a point where you have criminal informants assisting the academy police plus undercover people and still not feeling you can stop what's going to happen. That's when you know you have a problem. That's all we're going to say with that. It's a bad situation, but if that's happening, Troy Calhoun, be careful. Everybody be careful there. But also, how do we lighten the mood now? Because that's a bad way to end the show. Do you want to write for us? Is that a good way? We need San Jose State writers.
Yeah, we need San Jose State. We need UNLV. We need Nevada.
But those are our main primary needs. But if you want to do anybody... I'll even say San Diego State. I'm fine with it. Any school you want.
San Diego State writers.
It's not that's a low priority. But anybody else, we'll send it in to mountainwestfootball@gmail.com. We're not terribly picky. As long as you can spell correctly and put some good sentences and good thoughts together, you're good to go.
We want hot takes.
We want good takes. We want... If you're a homer, perfect. If you're not, if you're overly critical, great. We'll balance it out with somebody who's the opposite of you on either spectrum. But
yeah, I'll be getting on you about your grammar and editing and all
that. Yeah, but basically, if you can, honestly, we're not just joking. Like, as long as you can write okay, you have good opinions, we can help you if you need a little help on a few finer tips. But as long as you're not third grade and writing finger painting us a sample, you're good to go almost.
That's an insult to third graders. Anyway...
We're done here. Let's wrap it up. Let's again, thanks Isaac Draxler from ustateaggies.com. Utah State, double-digit wins minimum is my – I'll put that in stone right now. Minimum double-digit wins.
Double digits, at least, that's safe to say.
Double-digit wins. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. We have one more preview, Wyoming Cowboys. We'll probably have our Wyoming guy, Ben Mitchum, on most likely. Then our mega preview show, and then before you know it
– Football!
I'm going to watch the football game August 27th. It was Abilene Christian, Georgia Southern. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to watch that game on that Wednesday night on ESPNU. Awesome. But, again, football's here. MWCConnection.com. We'll have everything you need, recruiting, football, previews, Q&As. We got it. So keep listening to the show, and we'll talk to everybody next week.